I'm here to teach about, or to share, or however you would like to put it. I'd like to talk about teaching others also. Faithful men who will teach others also. First of all, I'm remiss not to thank Steve for the opportunity, God first, for the great privilege it is to handle his word among people who believe it. And Steve, thank you, and whoever else was in on the decision to allow me to share God's word, I appreciate it. Thank you. So we're going to teach others also. Patrick talked about how our ability is by grace. I deal with people, like they said, in fellowships. I'm an educator, so I'm around people. And teaching could be an opportunity for some people because there's a confidence that you need to be in front of people and to present information. There's an enthusiasm that you need for the subject matter that you're handling. There's a passion about teaching. In my opinion, of course, this is contrary to Governor Christie, but I think teaching is an art. And I believe that... Thank you. I believe that teachers are important people in the culture and in the Word of God, particularly since God says that we should be faithful men who are willing to teach others also. So let's look at that verse for a second, and let's talk about it, okay? This is an incredible opportunity for those of you who may have been around teaching. I know Jesse's a teacher, and I know Patrick taught a little bit in the public schools. You don't get this kind of response where people just have the same passion for what you're putting out as you have for what you're offering. And it's a tremendous privilege to have this time, and I better keep an eye on time, huh? To have this time together with you guys like this. Thank you. So, in 1 Timothy, we're going to look at that verse, that section, or 2 Timothy. We're going to look at that section together one more time. If I can get there. There it is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And you know, Patrick did an awesome job talking about the importance of grace in our lives and how it is strength to our character and how it gives us life. It's the life that we live is based on grace. The physical life, really, whatever. But that spiritual life that we have is based on grace, and it's a tremendous privilege and opportunity for us. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same..." You know, I can't tell you how important that is. I've been around this thing for a long time, and I've seen people where the Word of God has been stolen from them because they have embraced doctrines of men and things that are contrary to the Word of God, and then all of a sudden they're just out in the ozone spiritually. The same. You know what you've been taught. It's the same. You don't need anything more. This is what, you know, we have great leaders who take the time, like Steve just talked about, Michael and Bob. If there's something new we need to learn, those guys will find it. Trust me. For the most part, what we know is more than enough to last us a lifetime. The same. The same. Don't get in front of yourself. It's the same. The same. The same. "Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And again, I'm going to repeat to you that the teaching ability, that ability is by grace. And Patrick's already covered that. This thing about teaching, you know, it's not really a complicated thing. You hold information, you pass the information along, voila. Teaching, that's it. You know, today I'm wearing a jacket. I don't do that very often, so I had to have somebody instruct me about which button to button. Oh, well. It's teaching, right? The things that are important to us, the things that we care about, we hold that information, and then we present it. And that's as simple as it is. When that Word of God is important to you, you'll hold that information, and you'll present it. And you do it with passion. We're going to look at some examples of teachers in God's Word. It's going to be great to watch Jesus Christ handle the Word of God, and Peter, too. And you're going to see the passion that they put on the table, the information that they provide, and the structure and style in which they present it. It's awesome. So we're going to teach. We're going to instruct people. And you know what? You know, like Jesse said, I do these things in fellowships and try to get people to teach and whatnot. Just handle what you know. It's not that big a deal. Don't get ahead of yourself. Keep it very simple. Hold on to what you know. We had young people in our fellowships, 12, 13 years old, teaching God's word on the dime because they keep it simple. Simply what they know. Don't get ahead of yourself. You know, I remember when I got in the Word, I heard something about four crucified, and I was ready to put it on the table for my whole Catholic family to understand the Word of God better. I cannot tell you how embarrassed I was when I fumbled over every syllable because I didn't really know it. I understood it, but I couldn't teach it. Keep it simple. Handle what you know. Okay? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 15, Jason saved this for me, and I appreciate it. Thank you. Study. And that word you know is spoudazo, right? It means make a diligent effort considering the brevity of time. Make time for God's word, right? It's the lifeblood of our existence. It really is. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't teach something that you don't know. I just got a new phone, by the way. I'm moving up in the technology world. Thank you. And I don't know that much about that phone. And neither does Nicholas, actually, because I asked him to teach me something. And he didn't have the answer. He will. He will in about a week. Of course, in about a year and a half, I might have a few, too. But the point is that you can't teach what you don't know. So you've got to be in the Word to get the Word in order to present the words. Teach others also, right? Faithful. Look at Acts chapter 17. Here's another key principle about being knowledgeable in God's Word. Don't teach people things that I teach you or Jerry teach you without being sure that it's the Word of God. Just because you sit in a teaching pulpit, it doesn't make you a teacher of God's Word. It's got to be the rightly divided Word. We're held accountable, but we make mistakes. And then, beyond this auditorium or beyond this teaching pulpit, there's opportunities where people, I deal with them all the time. They're very sincere. They love God as much as I do. But you know what? They don't rightly divide God's Word. And so when you go into the Word, you might find error. Don't present that information, right? Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. That's how you receive it. And they searched the scriptures to make sure that those things were the same. That's the way we do it. We stay in God's word. We don't let anybody talk us out of the word. If it's the word, it's the word. It's the word. We're about God's word. And we are faithful men. We are choosing to become faithful men who will teach God's word. Teach it simple. Keep it right on the mark. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3. I have bad news for you. I have no idea how much time I've started. But I will be careful because Maria warned me that the children need to be recovered quickly, so I will get through this in a timely way. Otherwise, I'll have to hear about it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And Jason talked about this with David. Sanctify. Set God apart in your heart. He deserves a special place, wouldn't you say? After the stuff that that we were taught today, that Patrick put on the table about grace, does God deserve a special place in your heart? Sanctify the Lord. What do you think about God? Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lieth in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to speak God's word. Be ready to teach God's word. We are able teachers because we have been enabled. It's Christ in you, and he was the greatest teacher that ever lived. It's your attitude towards God's word that determines your spirituality, right? Mm-hmm. Have that attitude in check. You control your attitude. I'm Some of you guys are passionate about football. How did that happen? You chose to become passionate about football. You chose to collect the facts, watch ESPN, be knowledgeable about every player and how many yards. But what about God's Word? Take the time, man, and build a Word in your life. And then be ready to teach it when the time comes and the opportunity knocks. Look at John chapter 4. Teaching is an opportunity. Right now, I get up and go to work every morning, complain about 90% of the time. Because I'm going to... I don't really complain 90% of the time, do I?
No.
Because I'm going to teach. But really, when we're talking to God's Word, we're looking for opportunities. We're watching, waiting. Who's going to give me an opportunity to speak God's Word? Who's going to allow me to teach God's Word today? Where can I teach that Word of God? Where can I let that Word of God become known? It's a great privilege we have to know what we know and be charged by God to teach others also. Charged. John chapter 4, verse 5. John 4, 5. Okay, so here we go. Then cometh he, Jesus Christ, to a city of Samaria, which he called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone. What happened? His disciples were gone. Where am I? Oh, verse 8, thank you. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the women of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Teaching moment. He was there at the right place at the right time, and he presented God's Word. Here are some things that we talk about in education. An anticipatory set where you engage the students in some way, whether you show them a little picture or whether you give them an exercise to do that'll get them on topic with the lesson, or whether you make an engaging statement, or if you put a picture up, or a bottle of whiskey, or something that engages the learner. That's called an anticipatory set. Jesus Christ, somebody must have taught him that. Because he was the master teacher. He knew that in his heart, in his DNA. He had that. But now I'm telling you that. So you can take advantage of that opportunity to be a better teacher. That's something you want to do. You want to engage the learner. Either by words, by actions, some kind of energy to draw the learner in. Startling statements. Sometimes they work pretty cool. Talk later about how you incorporate God into this and how he oftentimes can give you that startling statement. We'll see that. So, you're going to have to read the rest of this on your own. We're going all the way to verse 21. It's a great record. If you have the time, whenever, try to get to it. 21. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Is he giving her some information here? Is he engaging her as a learner? Is he confident and putting it on the table? Do you think he has her attention? Let me tell you, I teach or have taught in the public schools. Look, you guys are engaged. I see eyeballs. I see this. In a public school, you see this. Maybe not in Jesse, but in mine. Listen, it's our responsibility as faithful men to put it out there. It's not your responsibility for them to pick it up. It's only your responsibility to teach. You teach. We teach. Because we love the word, we have passion, and we're excited about the subject. And then they will feed off of that. Be excited when you present God's word. Where am I? 24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Whoa. Wow. She's talking to Christ. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou or why talkest thou with her? You know why they marveled? You know why they marveled? They marveled because he had broken with tradition. He had not maintained the custom of this particular culture. Sometimes, when we are presenting God's word, it is necessary to separate ourselves from the rules of the people. We're believers. God's word is the greater rule. So sometimes we step out from behind the nine dots. And we minister God's word regardless of what people might think or say about you. Ooh, that would be terrible for someone to say something negative about you while you're ministering God's word, right? No, you're speaking God's word. You're trying to help them attain life, everlasting life. Wow, that's a lot bigger than trying to maintain the dignity of the norm. Step outside of the nine dots. Don't worry about those people. Really. God is going to be blessed if you follow his guidance. Teach God's word. So we got to 27, right? Now we're going to float down to 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. She went back, talked to people, and brought a ton of people with her. These are people that are coming toward Jesus Christ in order to learn God's word. This teaching opportunity was successful. But it was successful because he spoke the word, not because people came back. Time and time again, you'll see in the Gospels, nobody heard a word he said. Many times he confronted people. Don't you hear what I'm saying? It's not up to you whether or not they're going to believe and want more. It's up to you to put it on the table with passion and dignity, with integrity and love. That's the way we present God's word. Whether we're speaking it or preaching it, we're ministering God's word. And God needs us to do that. Nobody else. He needs you to do it. If you don't do it, it don't get done. Digest that one for a minute. 434, do we get there yet? Yes. And we went 35, do we go to 39 yet? I need your help because I get out. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things, all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. Listen, he ministered to this woman. He was guided by God to be able to tell her, oh, I know that guy you live with, that's not your husband, I know that. How did he know? God had to tell him. And when we are ministering God's word, you should expect God to be working with you. When you're put in a situation like this, to handle God's word and teach God's word, you should expect God to be working with you, because I don't know anything about what I should put on the table for you to digest. I have some general ideas, but God knows specifically, don't he? And when you're working one-on-one, God could blow this thing up for you, because that's the kind of God he is. He works within you to will and to do of his good pleasure, it says somewhere in God's word, Philippians chapter 4. Right? Yeah. Look at John chapter 8. So that was a teaching moment that really worked out well for Jesus Christ. Some, at other times, not so great. But whatever. He's out there ministering God's word. This is a great one here. And Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And again in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. So he went to the place where everybody goes to get their weekly sharing. Or maybe it was there. I don't know how often. So anyway, he went out there to the building where the word was to be ministered, and he took forth the opportunity to get up in front of everybody and say, okay, I got some word for you today, guys. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Right through those doors comes this woman. They throw her on the ground right here. You're trying to teach God's word about how to teach the word. And all of a sudden, here she is. How are you going to deal with this, Jesus? Ain't that what happened?
Yes.
You got to be careful with the ain'ts, though, when you teach them. That's what happened, right? They said to Master, this woman was taking adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such a... They're trying to embarrass him right in front. He's teaching here. They're calling him to task right here. He wants embarrassing him in front of all these people, probably more than we have here. What sayest thou? And they said, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. This is very important, this next part here. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. I'm not going to play a guessing game with you. You know what he was doing here. He was getting himself tight with God. He was listening. God, what do I do here, man? I'm in a jam. Sometimes you're going to find yourself in a jam presenting God's word. Just get quiet. And everybody does this different. Now, don't go out tonight and go playing on the ground in the dirt and wait for God to hear from you. That's not necessarily the way he's going to work with you. This is the way he worked with Jesus Christ in this particular instance, okay? It's not an automatic. You write on the ground and God talks to you. It doesn't work like that. But you are looking to God somehow, however you do it. And if you don't know how you do it, then practice something. Do something that is your effort to get some information from God. Whatever that thing is for you. And eventually God will pick it up and that will be your thing between you and God. Or somehow or another, you'll find that right thing. Maybe it will be written on the ground, I don't know. But whatever it is, it'll work. Because we have 9 manifestations of the Spirit, right?
Yes.
So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down. He didn't look for the opportunity to gloat. He's listening. He's working with God. He's in a crucial situation here. But it was the right thing to say. Because look what happens. And they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus has lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Well, he might have got ripped off of the opportunity to present God's word on teaching to others. Maybe that's what he was going to teach on. And he may have got ripped off on the opportunity to handle the crowd. But one person got blessed. One person. That's all that counts. One person. When you're ministering God's word, you don't have to win 100 or 50 or 20 or 10. If you're teaching somebody's fellowship, you don't have to have everybody on the same page with you. It would be nice. One person. One. That's all we need. One. And then we work with that one and we build the word in that one and allow that one to go out and do the same thing. And then it's two people doing the same thing. And then two, it becomes four. And then that thing grows, see? And that's why we're all so important to God, because you guys have connections to humanity that I just don't have. You live in areas where I just don't live. So we all need to be in on this together. That's why the exhortation was, faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You teach because you have the ability to teach, because you have it within. It's in your spiritual DNA. So right now we're doing a thing in our fellowship where we want everybody to teach. And it's hard for some people because either they've never taught or teaching is awkward for them or whatever. But this is it, man. You just let it rip. We have 13-year-old kids, 12-year-old kids handling the Word of God. And we can learn from them. Because what they handle in that moment of time, oh, well, you might already know those scriptures. But it might be the right word for the right day at the right time. That's the key. That's how you move God's Word. That's how you teach God's Word. Listen. Pay attention to and do what God would have you to do. Okay. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. See, remember, though, this whole this teaching thing, it does take preparation. You are required to prepare. You prepare by being in God's Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now you have the Word in your head. And now, when you go to present it to somebody, you have something that you can draw from. Now you begin to think that this person needs, because they have some infirmity, in your mind you're thinking, I need to teach about this person about healing. But now you're teaching about healing and all God is talking to you about is peace. And in your heart of hearts you're saying, peace? Look at what I'm dealing with. Peace? Why peace? Yes, well that's what you teach. And how do you know what to teach? How many times, and I've seen this happen with leaders in my fellowship and in fellowship, where all of a sudden the teaching goes like this. This is what I'm going to share with you today. The preparation was done. Never, ever show up without being prepared. The preparation was done. But God's Word, God, what's happening inside is way more important, man. So you deviate. And that's where you go with the Word. And that's the right thing to do. Always. Because God works in you the will and to do of His good pleasure. Acts chapter 2. Well, let's look at that verse just for the fun of it. Philippians chapter 2. Steve told me about the Ephesians thing. I was like, Steve, Ephesians is so deep. God, how many hours is it going to be? Oh, 8 hours. I can handle that. No, but we need to be in those situations. We need to be around those teachings so that we can learn God's Word. That's why we come. I mean, I like you guys. I really do. But I really have to be honest with you. The reason I come here is because I want to hear the Word. I really like you, though. And your being here makes it especially sweet and powerful. But it's the Word. It's the Word that I fell in love with, you know, X amount of years ago. It's the Word that sustains me. When I'm off and whacked out, it's the Word that the devil tries to steal from me. Those are the hardest times for me to get in God's Word when I'm out in the ozones. And so other people, I guess it's opposite. I don't know. But it's steal, kill, and destroy. You've got to get to the Word. Philippians chapter 2, because I'm getting off the subject, sorry. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says it right here. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. If you're teaching God's Word, and you need to say something to that audience, who's going to tell you about it? He absolutely will. The right word, the right phrase, you know, the perfect expression. Those are the things that will occur when you're walking with God and teaching God's Word. Boom, you nail it. And you know you nailed it. I know when I nailed it because there's something that happens inside of me that I don't even want to tell you what happens, but I identify with it. I get that's me. And for you, it's going to be something else. But it's true, and it's real. Acts chapter 2. Peter wasn't quite the teacher that Jesus Christ was, but he was a man of God filled with the Holy Spirit like you and I are, and he had the same spiritual DNA as Jesus Christ because it's Christ in him, the hope of glory. And so when he was called to task, he had the right word. He put it on the table, clean and clear. And the people who surrounded him received it to the point that they were born again, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they went from being people of body and soul to body, soul, and spirit with eternal life. Talk to me about that. Try to understand. Can you even grasp that? All of a sudden, we have eternal life. It's incredible what God can do through your mouth. If you just let him in. And teach it, man. Don't be afraid. You know, I mean, I work in a school, and we have a lot of believers there, and they're really nice people, but they really don't know the word. They really don't. And they try their best to present it. And I don't really fight with them and argue with them. What am I going to do? You know? I mean, they think Jesus Christ is God. They really believe that. In the heart of their hearts, they think he's God. I can't even go there. I have. I have. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. I do the best I can with them, but whatever. Men and brethren. 2:29. Men and brethren. Let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Look, he lured them in with a little bit of information about David. We have this common knowledge here. And then, boom, God raised him from the dead. That's our message. That God raised Christ from the dead. That's our message. That's what we teach people. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, made whole. That's all we need to do. Because once they're made whole, they have eternal life. Yay. The job is done. And we get the privilege to do it. It's awesome. This Jesus God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. What did they see and hear? Speaking in tongues, didn't they?
Yeah.
But a lot of well-intentioned Christians will say that speaking in tongues is not true. It's not of God. It's not biblical. It's not Christian. They're fools. They're wrong. And they're out promoting that, and we can't afford to sit back and let the Word of God be diluted like that. I was hoping that that whiskey would stay up here, but... diluted. I hope that really wasn't that good whiskey. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Are these engaging statements? Has he got their attention? That's what your job is, get their attention. God will show you how. God will show you how. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's that grace. There's the grace. Just believe this. Boom. Got it. Now we move. Now we move to the place where we could be faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Because we're in God's Word. We're studying God's Word. We're aware that we need an engaging statement. We are aware that we need to shake the tree a little bit. Wake them up so that they hear what we have to say. Because what we have to say is life. Everything else is suspect. Go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to wrap this up in a few minutes. Colossians chapter 1. Everything else is suspect, guys. It really doesn't matter who wins the freaking Super Bowl. It really doesn't. But the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that counts. That matters. Colossians chapter. And some people don't even know that. They don't know it. Okay, how could that be? Because we have a steady diet of it. Because of these things that the people who help us with God's Word do to coordinate efforts where we could be together and hear God's Word. What a tremendous privilege. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Talk about grace, Christ in you. Grace, Christ in you. Grace, Christ in you. The hope of glory. Wow. Wow. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. If the word's going to move, we need someone to move it, right? Somebody's got to speak it, man. And when you're speaking it, believe me, as long as the information you're imparting is new information to them, you're teaching. Right? It's just discourse that adds information. So you get to teach God's Word. Sometimes we'll be preaching God's Word. Depends on the situation. It doesn't matter. You just open your mouth. Don't worry about the semantics. Let the Word out. I know people who used to get on buses just yell, "Hey, Romans 10, 9, 10, get off the bus and go somewhere else." You guys have heard that already, right? Most of you have. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How does believing come?
Hearing.
You all can't hear nothing if nobody's saying anything. And the people, too frequently, like Jason pointed out, the things that they're saying are not right. They're not providing the right information. And they're stealing the great opportunity that believers might have in this day and time. Because the devil is the Lord of this world. He don't want this Word of God to get out. But here we are with it. And all that we have to do is put it on the table, man. Don't matter what they think, as long as we put it on the table. And we set the table with fine china. It's always the best when we present God's Word. It's clean, it's neat, it's clear. It's loving, it's not arrogant. It's just sweet, sweet opportunity to speak God's Word. Acts 17. Oh, Acts 17. Look at Paul. Verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and where? Lyndhurst and Rutherford? They came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them in three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, open and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen. What did he teach? He taught the resurrection. That's what he taught. That's all you need to teach. And that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. You teach it so simply that even a child can understand it. Just put it on the table. As his manner was. And you know why his manner was that? That's what he wanted it to be. He chose that this would be from now on I'm going to do this. And he followed up and did it, and then it became his manner, as his manner was. And we're going to close in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and in verse 20, it says, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Go stand and speak. Speak the word. Much of what you speak will be teaching, because they don't know. People don't know. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning, and what did they do? They taught. You know? A lot of times, the teaching of God's Word will get you in some social difficulty. These guys happen to have gotten thrown in jail. I don't think that happened. I think maybe Jerry said he got thrown in jail once. But other than that, I don't know too many people who had too many severe consequences because they were speaking God's Word. So here we are now. You know, Paul committed this charge to Timothy. Really, that charge is to you and I as well. We stand, we speak, we minister God's word. Be those faithful men who are able to teach others also. Okay? That's it.